Our thanks go to Hartbury University and College, Harper Adams University, NFU Mutual, Thring Solicitors, DataTag, and Nugent Engineering for supporting Series 2 of Keeping on Track. Hi, I'm Adam Henson. Welcome to the second series of Keeping on Track, a podcast series made by the farming community for the farming community. In this programme, we're catching up with a farmer who's been pretty influential in many areas of farming policy over the past few years. He's Stuart Roberts, and before taking over the family farm in 2012, he worked at the Ministry of Agriculture, the Food Standards Agency, and DEFRA. He appears in several other programmes in this series, but here we're focusing on his thoughts on mental health.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. So today we're talking to Stuart Roberts. He farms 300 acres, cereal and cattle, in Hertfordshire. Until recently, he was deputy president of the NFU. He's been closely involved with farming policy, and he loves his job.
What do I love about farming? I think for me, you can see some very clear, tangible outcomes very quickly. So the classic for me, and lots of people like that, this is where I will get all of the direct drillers on my back and criticising me. I love a day's ploughing. Okay, the reason I love a day's ploughing, I don't do as much of it as I used to, okay, and I don't release all that carbon these days, but I still do occasionally enjoy driving a plough, because you look back at the end of the day and you can see exactly what you've done. You can see exactly what you've changed. Every year you can see your crops growing. You can see your animals improving. You can see the genetics of your herd or your flock improving. So what you actually do is you get to see real improvement. And I don't think you necessarily see that in all businesses. It's certainly not as obvious. The other thing for me, it's a classic, it's slightly corny, but it is the best office in the world. You know, on a day like this when the sun's shining, possibly not in the last few months, but certainly I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be as an office than the British countryside. It's not a bad place to be.
Stuart started off as a civil servant at the then Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Food, and had a whale of a time.
Colleagues at my level who were doing, say, GM crops would probably write a first draft of a reply to a letter the minister had had that would pass through six other hands before it ever got sent anywhere. Whereas I was in Brussels negotiating. It was fantastic. I had a little Union Jack flag in front of me on a desk once, and there was a photograph. My mum was very, very proud of me. So that's where I started. And ever since then, everything I've done has been involved in policy. And that's partly because I suppose I enjoy doing farming, okay? I enjoy being on the farm. But actually, what really turns me on is trying to create an environment within which farming can thrive and farming can deliver for society. And actually, the only way we can do that is by having the right policy framework in place within which farming can operate. I just have a massive interest in it. And if there is a sort of a wider good, it is about doing what I can to create the best environment through which British farming, the British food industry, can then thrive, succeed, and be the most progressive, profitable sector that it could be.
So, in between seeking policy changes, Stuart has been running a farm with his wife Emma for the last 12 years, and like a lot of farmers we've been hearing from, it hasn't all been plain sailing.
Mental health is one of those things I probably treated like a lot of the farming community, right? I am a big, butch, macho bloke, right? That's what I am. And there's quite a few of us in British farming. And we don't have worries, we don't have concerns, we don't suffer with anxiety or depression or anything else, because we don't. We're big, butch, macho blokes. It was actually when I was at the NFU, I started to talk to more and more people about mental health. And actually, I tried to, I hope, and I think at the time relatively successfully, to almost just give everyone permission to start to talk about this. So I was aware of it myself. One of the big issues at the moment, and having been involved in your previous discussion about policy development, we're at an era now where we're going to see huge change. Okay, now some of that will be for good, some of that won't be for good. We know the stresses that come from working in isolated communities or working by yourself or working long hours. All of those things feed into your mental health. And I probably never really realized it, actually, but I did have anxiety. I did have worries. I did have concerns. But the other bit we forget is when we talk about mental health and farming, we do talk about the things I've just touched on, about isolated, working on your own, about the pressures that come specifically from farming, whether that be animal disease, whether that be weather, whether it be one of those things. But we're also human beings who have relationship worries, who have financial worries, who have worries about the next generation or about the previous generation who we're looking after. And therefore, actually, as humans, not only have we got all the same pressures that every single human in this country has in terms of their mental health and mental well-being, but we've also got the added ones that are very specific to farming. And you've only got to look at the statistics. You know, they are pretty horrendous when it comes to agriculture. And I just felt I had a responsibility in a tiny way as someone who was, you know, known in farming, I wouldn't say any more than that, but known in farming, that if I could just allow people to talk about this, allow them to ask each other if we're okay. And I do this thing, I generally ask people twice if they're okay. Because what people forget is when I say to someone like, I was talking to Charles Anion, who I think you're gonna speak to later this week. Whenever I speak to Charles, I'll say, how are you? And Charles will always say, I'm great. Okay, that's what we've done for years and years and years. That's all we've done. And actually, we've all forgotten that at the end of how are you is a question mark. And actually, we do want people to answer it, not just use it as a precursor to say, I'm great. So now I do genuinely ask people, are you really okay? When you ask them the second time, people are prepared sometimes to say, no, I'm not. I've had a really bad day. You know, I'm struggling financially. I've had a falling out with my girlfriend or wife. I've had a really bad inspection. I've had a call from the vet and he wants to come and check some animals or whatever it happens to be, or a rural payments agency inspection. And actually, there's nothing wrong with admitting that you're not okay, because actually, I suspect none of us are 100% okay at any time. I possibly am at one point, and maybe we'll come on to my well-being and what I do positively later, but generally, all of us are always having challenges and problems, and the best thing we can all do is talk about them. Just the act of talking, I think, can sometimes unburden people. But also talk to charities, people like the Farm Community Network, people like YANA, DPJ in Wales. There's lots and lots of these, the Samaritans, there's a lot. There is help out there. But also talk to your neighbours. One of the things my mother taught me was, we have two ears and we have one mouth, okay? And we're supposed to use them in that proportion. Now, I know I don't, okay? And anyone who knows me will know I don't. But actually, that means we should spend twice as long listening as we do talking. Be a listener. And do remember, when you ask that question, you know, how are you? You are expecting a bit more back from them than I'm okay. So use your ears just as much as you use your mouth. Twice as much as you use your mouth.
And according to Stuart Roberts, we should be looking out for each other now, maybe more than ever.
We have got to be much better at our mental health, our mental well-being, because we're about to go through the scariest, most uncertain time that British agriculture has had, definitely in my lifetime, and probably for longer than my lifetime. It doesn't go back that far. And I then say the way we get through that is because we're not a sector of the economy. We're a community. And ultimately, if the farming community can pull together and the farming community can help each other, and all of us as individuals in that community can help each other, then I think actually there is a very optimistic future for British agriculture.
So the question is, how does Stuart look after his mental health?
I've got an app on my phone. Every morning I try and do 5 minutes of mindfulness. I do it generally when I'm out walking the dog or checking the fields or something else. I'm slightly embarrassed about it because I suspect most farmers haven't got a clue what mindfulness is. But for me, that's one of the mechanisms. So literally for 5 minutes, if anyone sees me, they'll think I'm a bit odd doing this, which is why I do it in the middle of nowhere as I'm walking the dog. But we've got a bench on the farm. So I virtually always will walk past the bench at about 6:45-ish of a morning with the dog, and the dog can run off and chase something. And I will sit there for 5 minutes and basically just breathe. And it's amazing how what it does is it just calms you down. And as you sort of get better at it, or as you do more of it, it gives you that space to empty your head. And the other thing I do is, and this is quite well known, so I've started running, okay? So I lost a huge amount. Well, I lost 70 kilos a few years ago, started running. And now my happy place is, definitely one of my happy places, is going out for a run. Not for a long run, just for 5K, maybe a little bit more, and you empty your head. So for me, mindfulness does the same thing. It empties your head, and it just gives you one moment in the day where you're not stressed and worried about, haven't done that email, haven't answered that phone call, haven't sent that form in, haven't paid that bill, whatever it happens to be. And I think we all need those moments once in a while. And there's a definite correlation between physical health and mental health. So that is a big, big one for me. And all I can say now is I'm happier now than I ever was. And also, I really hope, even if it was only one person, by me talking about it, allowed other people to talk about it, and therefore other people's mental health was improved off the back of it, or other people were able to recognise challenges they were having themselves and not just bottle them away, as unfortunately too many big butch macho blokes do. But you do need to find those coping mechanisms.
And that could be joining social or sports groups, it could be mindfulness or a hobby you enjoy. But for Stuart, there's another very important ingredient to staying well.
We farm in the best office in the world, right? I've said that and I genuinely mean it. But we also live in our offices. We live in the factory. We live on site. We never escape the business. So one of the things I try to do is I try to escape the business, because actually that's really important. So for me, there is a big chunk of family in that. So I made a promise to my wife when we got married. She doesn't come from a farming background at all, okay? So her, if you like, family heritage, so her old man was a shop steward on Fleet Street, very much in an urban environment, was very nervous about moving to a farm. But the one thing she made me promise her is we'll go on holidays, okay? Too many farmers do not go on holidays. So I like going on holidays. From being forced to go on holidays because it was part of a marriage deal, I now do genuinely enjoy going on holidays. That is a massive well-being benefit to me and to the family.
But isn't there this thorny issue of what happens to the farm while I'm away? That's what puts a lot of people off taking time out. Not Stuart, but he does say it takes a bit of planning.
I'd love to say I did used to be nervous. I never particularly have been, because actually I've surrounded myself with good people. So I've got a guy who works for me who I have every bit of faith in. Okay, now I know not everyone is in that fortunate position. But I do think actually I have some neighbouring farmers who I can call on and who they can call on me. So one of the biggest benefits of farming is, and for me, one of the positives we need to celebrate, is we're not just a sector of the economy, we're a community. And I think actually there's not many other sectors of the economy that could really call themselves communities. So actually, in my part of the world, lots of us will look after each other. I'm thinking of my neighbouring farmer. I will certainly go and look after his sheep if he's away, and he can look after mine when I'm away. I'm not going to lie that the week before, you have to do more work. The week you get back, you have to do more work. And probably over that 3-week period, you have done 3 weeks worth of work. But actually, the way you feel, the way I feel anyway, when I get back from a week away, makes all the rest of it pale into significance. Have things gone wrong? Yes, they have. Have people at home made decisions while I've been away that are not the decisions I would have made? Absolutely, they have. But it doesn't matter. They at least made a decision. And I never criticise them for it. Because of all the things I've done, I've always been away from the farm a lot. So actually, that sort of mechanism you've got in place. But definitely, holidays is a big one for me. Arguably, we probably go on too many. But that's partly because we've got kids that are growing up very fast and will not be coming away with us for much longer. So we're trying to enjoy it while we can.
And don't tell anyone, but Stuart has a couple of other tactics to de-stress.
I'm not sure I've ever admitted this in public, okay? But, and I know of two other farmers who have exactly the same relaxation hobby, so I feel in good company, and I think there's many others. The one thing, if I want to empty my head, completely switch off, get away from the farm, is I build Lego. Okay, so but the only stress I get with Lego is it is way too expensive and I can't afford the stuff, and therefore I'm stressing how I could afford it. But the reality is, for me, Lego and jigsaws are equal. Some people really enjoy reading. Okay, I wish I could enjoy reading. I'm heavily dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. I really struggle to read. Or no, I can read, but very, very slowly. So reading for me does absolutely nothing. I'm going to break with all of the science here and say, before going to bed, I'd much rather play a game on my phone than read a book. Okay, I know that's the wrong mechanism. But for me, the two that make me switch off are jigsaws and Legos. And I can lose hours and not even realize I've lost hours doing one of those two things.
That was Stuart Roberts, Hertfordshire farmer and recently deputy president of the NFU, and we'll hear more from him in other programmes coming up. Adam Henson, Stuart realises how important mental health is and he takes it seriously.
He really does, and Stuart is very well regarded, isn't he? He's worked in various agricultural sectors, so to hear his thoughts about the health of the farmer and therefore the health of the farming industry is important and very interesting. And he's got some great points. You know, obviously himself losing a huge amount of weight has been incredible. So for him, looking after your physical and mental health, what he does is he puts aside time, and it's part of his daily routine, which, you know, is something we should all be thinking about.
And he obviously considers physical health to be a big part of mental health.
He really does. And I think, you know, your GP, the doctor, would tell you the same. He obviously loves the great outdoors, as many of us do as farmers. But he has identified in his life that he needs to eat well, look after himself, needs some time for mental well-being, you know, taking time out, going for a walk, looking at the, you know, the birds and the bees and sucking in the fresh air. And identifying that spending time with his family and friends is really important too. And interestingly, being able to turn off and forget about everything that's going on in your agricultural life and potentially any stresses and strains in your personal life is so important. One other interesting point he made is about looking after each other. You know, agriculture is going through a huge transition at the moment. There's a lot of strains on us from very many angles. And he's saying, as a farming community, we need to come together and really start to look after each other better. And that involves talking and caring for one another, but also asking each other how we are, with a big question mark, as he says. Asking someone twice, how are you? How are you really? And that, you know, rang a tune with me.
Thank you, Adam. I'm Dominic Arkwright. That's all for now.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Keeping on Track. I hope you found things in it that were helpful for you or someone you know. If you've been affected by anything you've heard today or in any other programme, you can find more information about organisations which can provide help and support by going to teamdoctor.org/farmers. Until the next time, keep on track.